football time.
Here we go, D!
Time to get ready for the weekend.
E-man!
This is Jake and TD with Jake Lyman and ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter Teron Davenport.
Presented by Soul Restaurant Nashville.
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Happy Friday, Nashville. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Glad to have you with us over the next hour till 7 o'clock as we get you ready for your football weekend. Jake Lyman alongside ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport. For the next hour, we're going to get you ready for Titans and the Texans coming up on Sunday as the Titans take a road trip starting a stretch of back-to-back road games. TD, how you doing?
Hey.
Getting ready for the trip out to Houston this week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Tomorrow morning, headed out. So it's always fun. I like that Houston trip, man. It's just something about it. I just like it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, your first divisional road trip this year. It's crazy to think that the Titans play five of their last seven games against divisional opponents, and the only division game so far has been that Colts game at home, but you'll have Houston, Jacksonville, and Indy coming up in the next 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that a lot of the guys are pointing to, right? They're saying, hey, you know, this is an opportunity for us to go in and make some things happen and turn it around. That's what they're saying. So I like that, and we'll see what happens, but it starts here.
Right, and I know that some people have referenced that Jaguars team 2 years ago. They were 3-7. Titans are 2-8, so they're a little bit further behind. Jaguars were able to make a little comeback thanks to the Titans' seven-game losing streak down the stretch. But you have five divisional games left. It gives you a shot, so we'll see what the Titans can muster up this week down in Houston. TD, looking back at Sunday's game against the Vikings, we talked about it last week about how Will Levis was going to have his hands full with that Brian Flores defense and trying to build on what was a solid game against the Chargers. And we saw it. We finally saw the wow throws that everybody had been missing through the first couple of months of the season. Will Levis with a 98-yard touchdown to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, made a great throw to Calvin Ridley on a touchdown that came back, obviously, due to a penalty. And then one play later, hit Bryce Oliver, thrown off his back foot. Really solid game from Will Levis. Obviously, he had the turnover in desperation time late. But good to see those wow throws come back, because that's what gave everybody a little bit of hope that he could be the next franchise guy, and he showed flashes of it again on Sunday.
Yeah, no, he definitely showed flashes of it, and I think to your point, you know, how he handled that Vikings defense, they were really testing him frequently and made sure that they did everything they could to confuse him. It didn't happen, and he was making the right reads. The interception, I mean, you're trying to make something happen. That's going to, occur late in games at times. Like, it's more likely to. It's not a boneheaded, dumb mistake. He's trying to get the ball down the field. But to be able to bounce back after that 51-yarder was called back and then turn around and throw the ball, 33-yarder, to Bryce Oliver against that zero blitz, you know, and have the answers to the test right then and there, I think that showed that there is some promise with him as a quarterback. There is something that you could build upon. I don't think there's a lack of talent. There's just a complete breakdown that you need a rewiring and all that. I think that there's something that you could work with, and that's what he's starting to show.
I thought the answer was great from Will Levis when asked about what he thinks he's improved upon since coming back from injury. No chest passes, no flailing interceptions to this point for Will Levis.
Yeah,
I guess that is step number one for him, is to eliminate those boneheaded mistakes, and we haven't seen any of them through the last 2 weeks since he's been back out there. We mentioned a few weeks ago when Will Levis was working his way back from injury that if you don't count the Colts game, because we now know that he wasn't 100%, probably shouldn't have even been out there for that one. Mm-hmm. And then the Dolphins game, he only played two series. We really only had a three-game sample size of Will Levis this year. And I know lots of fans kind of gave up on him after seeing the boneheaded mistakes, and then he got injured. But this is why you got to give the guy a little bit more time. And he's shown that he can get back to the form that we saw against Atlanta last year and against Miami and against Pittsburgh. We saw that again on Sunday. Obviously, the next step, though, is starting to win football games, because I don't know if you can commit to a guy if you do finish this year 3-14 or whatever it is after this season.
Yeah, I don't know that you commit to him as much as you say, okay, let's give this another year to see right. what can happen. You know, let's face it, this quarterback class, I mean, you have, you know, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward at the top of it. The rest is just, okay, let's see, right? Jalen Milroe, Carson Beck. You know, there's different quarterbacks that it's – some have said Garrett Nussmeier.
There are red flags completely, for yeah. almost all of them.
So the thing is, I don't see what would be bad about bringing him back and seeing how things could work. And these aren't excuses. These are explanations. He hasn't had the same OC back-to-back years. And I don't know when the last time, you know, he got to experience that. So you do have that. There's something that could be said to the continuity. Knowing everything like the back of your hand, I think there's something that could still be said to Brian Callahan and working with quarterbacks. I think there's something that could still be said to the whole staff. And I think when you look at the extra time, now they downplay it and say they didn't spend extra time, but Levis will tell you, like he said, that he was, you know, there. He's there in the morning, right? And they're going over the test and making sure he has the answers to the test. This is all a testament to Bo Hardigree, Nick Holtz, and Callahan. If they could extrapolate that over a longer period of time and he could keep trending up, I don't see a problem with bringing it back next year.
Right, and there's still 7 games to go, so you got to make sure that this isn't just a flash in the pan one game. But if he continues to show this trend, you're right. What is going to be more valuable to this Titans franchise moving forward? A quarterback who there are going to be a lot of questions around, no matter who you draft. Even if Shedeur Sanders is the most talented player, there's going to be questions of whether he's even going to be allowed to come here. As Deion has already said, he's going to manipulate behind the scenes where Shedeur ends up going. Cam Ward has red flags. A lot of the same issues Will Levis has of decision-making and the kind of things that we were worried about with Levis. So what's more valuable? One of those quarterbacks with red flags? A superstar player that you could take in the top 5, like a Travis Hunter, or trading back and getting a king's ransom of picks to move back for maybe somebody who believes they can get Shedeur Sanders or a Travis Hunter or somebody like that.
That's the tough thing to figure out. And if you trade back, how far back do you go?
Right.
Because you look at this team, I mean, you look at this roster, it's like, okay, there really aren't too many guys where you say, oh, he's a game changer. He's a game changer. Yep. He's a game changer. I would say 3 maybe, right? And so that being said, and that 3 is being generous. So that being said, you probably do want to, if you have a top 5 pick, you probably do want to get a blue chip player. But at the same time, if you could move back and still be in that, you know, hey, get a Pierce, James Pierce from Tennessee, get a Luther Burden, you know, a lot of people like T-Mac, McMillan.
Yeah, McMillan.
I can never say his name. His McMillan, you know, from Arizona. Like, if you could still get one of those types of players and acquire other picks, hey, do it. But I don't know that bringing in Shedeur Sanders would be the complete and total answer. That's the thing. I still think this roster overall has to get better.
Yes, and he'd still be in the exact same situation that Will Levis is. Maybe you add a few more pieces around him, but if you could add an extra first, an extra second, an extra third, or more to what Will Levis will have in his cupboard next year, I think that might help you moving forward. Obviously, we have to see what Will Levis looks like through the final 2 months of the season. But if you do stick and pick at the top of the draft, I think obviously Travis Hunter is one of the guys that people are looking at. I was having a conversation with somebody talking about Will Campbell, the tackle out of LSU. He's a left tackle. If you want to just solve your tackle for the foreseeable future, could you see them taking Campbell and flipping him to right tackle, and then you've got Latham flipped from right to left, and then Campbell flipped from left to right? Obviously, maybe not ideal, you know, in hindsight, but I don't think you'd want to flip Latham back after a year at left tackle.
No. Especially after the year that he's having. I don't flip him back. I think, and he has the trademark of being that cornerstone left tackle. Like, the guy, he's going to be a captain next year. I'll be shocked if he's not.
I think you're right.
He's already a very good player. The work ethic, like, he's everything you want in your left tackle.
Yeah.
So I would leave him and allow him to continue that Trent Williams pace that he's on. And you could go out and you get another right tackle. I mean, look, DJ Humphries is – it was just reported that he's made available, again, former Cardinals offensive lineman. Why not kick the tires on him? See if you could put him over there at right tackle. Here's the deal. It's not going to get worse than what you've trotted out there already. So give it a shot.
That's what we were saying last week. I forget. You brought up another tackle who was out there.
Yeah, Tyree Phillips.
Yes.
Who the Giants ended up. So he went back to the Giants.
Right. So if DJ Humphries is out there, again, do we think he's going to step in and immediately be Lane Johnson? No, but could you get yourself an average right tackle? Possibly, and I think that's what the Titans are looking for right now on that side of the line. But Will Levis, he looked good in his second game back from injury. The hope is that he will continue to show that trajectory and give himself a chance to be the starting quarterback next year. Obviously a long way to go, but the Titans have to be feeling better about their quarterback situation than they did about 3 weeks ago. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk wide receiver. There was a player on the other end of that 98-yard receiving touchdown, and the old Honda Accord is running well right now. And we're going to talk about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina coming up next. Jake and TD on your Friday evening, getting you ready for the football weekend, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And now you got Jonathan Greenard, one of the better pass rushers in the league, going to work on third down.
Levis taking a shot. He's got Westbrook Ikhina breaking free. And the Tennessee Titans right back in it. 98 yards. Will Levis with a home run ball to Westbrook Ikhina. And the Titans up off the mat. 7-point game.
That is something that I didn't expect for 500, Spiro. Unbelievable job catching the Vikings in a blitz. And Westbrook Ikhina makes them pay.
It was Nick Westbrook Ikhina scoring a 98-yard touchdown, tied for the longest passing touchdown in Titans franchise history. Obviously, not the longest touchdown. We saw Derrick Henry go for 99 just a few years back. Jake and TD on this Friday evening. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport. Nick Westbrook Ikhina, TD, the old Honda Accord, showing off the top speed on Sunday. Getting down the sideline on 3rd and 10 from their own 2-yard line. He scores from 98 yards out. I believe that is now, is that 5 out of the last 6 games Nick Westbrook Ikhina has scored a touchdown? He has more than proven himself worthy of being one of the top 2 wide receivers on this team now that DeAndre Hopkins is gone. And I think the question I wanted to ask you is it time to pay that man and extend the lease on the Honda Accord for the Titans?
Yeah, I think you reward him and you have him as a guy that's going to be a part of the franchise for the next 2-3 years or what have you. He's shown the ability to just always be reliable. And when you have a player that's reliable, you got to make sure that he's around, because he makes sure that he's around for you. And I think you look at just how every time there's a challenge, he accepts the challenge. He may not start, but he finally gets the opportunity, and he takes advantage of every opportunity he gets. And I think that's really the key to it. He even showed, right, when you're not having him play receiver, he will help you out on special teams. He was an outstanding gunner. So one way or another, he's going to find a way to contribute. Those are the types of guys that you have to have, you know, in addition to the superstars. And he's a legit player.
And I think if you look forward to next year, obviously Tyler Boyd is an impending free agent. You don't know what happens there. But Calvin Ridley seems to be really the only notable wide receiver the Titans have under contract heading into next season. Obviously, Jaquan Jackson could be a good depth piece and a special teams player. But even if you draft a wide receiver in the first couple of rounds, which I think would be likely this year, if you enter next year with a top 3 of Calvin Ridley, X draft pick, and Nick Westbrook Ikhina, I think that gives Will Levis or whoever's playing quarterback a pretty good top line of wide receivers And obviously you build the depth beneath that. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has proven that he deserves to be on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, they'll have something to work with because Treylon Burks will be back, right, wrong, or indifferent. I know fans don't like that name, but he's another one that you'll have in the mix. And when you have a different adjusted role for him, who knows, maybe he could fill in, you know, and contribute through that way. But they're going to have to get somebody early. Day two at the very least.
Yep.
And I do like what they're starting to do with Jaquan Jackson, where you're seeing him in the backfield. You're seeing him line up all over and emotion him and doing. He could be a gadget guy as you get the ball in his hands. So I do like that. You just need more. Like, you need someone. This team, their red zone is not good. So I you look at, was it Detroit? I think, no, the Chargers, where they had Josh Wiley lined up wide and they threw the fade to him. You right. need somebody that you could put out there at receiver, and they don't really have that guy right now.
And I think you're right. The Titans, I think, need to take a wide receiver in the third round at the very latest.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm trying to go through draft classes in my mind, I believe the only day one or two pick the Titans have spent on a wide receiver since A.J. Brown is Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
Right? And Treylon Burks was direct replacement for A.J. Brown because that was the pick you got for A.J. Brown. So really, you are a net zero in terms of top wide receivers that you've drafted in the first three rounds since drafting A.J. Brown. And if you look past A.J. Brown, I think you're looking all the way back to Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor in 2017. So the Titans have not invested at wide receiver in the draft over the last few years. I think that has to change this year, despite having a guy like Calvin Ridley, who obviously is a premier free agent acquisition. You need to get a young guy who your quarterback, whether it's Will Levis or somebody else, can grow with moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, there's three guys, maybe four, first round that I three where they probably will end up picking. Actually, two, because Luther Burden is my favorite receiver in this class. He's not a top five pick. I don't know that he's a top 10 pick.
Entering the year, he looked like he might be.
Yeah, but I don't know that I put him, you know. So I would say two, obviously Hunter and Tet McMillan, who gives you that guy that you throw that fade up to and let him go get it. He's huge. I just wonder, we could get into that another time. I wonder about the grit and the dog in him, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get into draft stuff as we move along throughout the season, but I agree. I do like Luther Burden. Maybe that's a guy that, and we talked about it a little earlier, if you do trade back, let's say you're picking fourth in the draft, you could maybe move back to 11, 12, pick up another first-round pick next year and still get a guy like Luther Burden.
And see, in doing that, now next year you have two firsts. So guess what? Even if you're in a position where you're not a top-five pick, you could put those two together and go up and get your quarterback, you know, whether it's whoever that should be in that class.
Or if whoever moves up, let's say somebody moves up for Cam Ward, and he struggles his rookie year, maybe that pick ends up being in position to take a quarterback. Yeah. We saw that with the Rams in 2017.
But, I mean, worst case, you're sealed because you got two first-round
picks.
Right,
and you can use that as draft capital and move on up. But we did see that with the Rams, that the Titans, despite picking first the year before, they were picking 18th that year, I believe. But they still had a top-five pick because the Rams weren't very good that year with Jared Goff as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
All that will be sorted out as we move along and figure out where the Titans will be picking. But I just want to give the shout out to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Absolutely.
It's time to pay that man and make sure that he's around moving forward for a couple of years. Quickly, before we move on from the Vikings game, I don't think we can finish off the show unless we talk about officiating. I was over at Vanderbilt during the game, so I wasn't fully watching, but I saw the Twitter uproar on the unnecessary roughness call on fourth down.
That was
one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
It was ridiculous. And then you double down and try to lie on it.
Yeah.
The tape doesn't lie, man. Both feet on the ground. It's just a hard hit. My thing is, like, you got to, this is a contact sport. Like, just because it's a hard hit doesn't mean you got to flag it. The other thing, though, I don't understand exactly, and we're kind of splitting hairs, but they were, it just seemed like they were watching, they were reviewing it to overturn it and not to confirm it.
Right.
Right. And what do I mean? It's like, look for reasons why the call should have been made, not why it shouldn't have. And I question that. The illegal formation, these are all judgment things, right? You get a warning. I know the team hasn't been called for it at all this year, but Isaiah Prince didn't play at all this year up until that point. So we'll throw that out. But I just think it's a judgmental call. And for these flags, as Jeffrey Simmons said, to come late. Like, it was almost to the point where every time a big play happened, I'm sitting there like, let me look for the flag. And sure enough, you'd be like,
there it is.
There it is. I'm not saying it's fixed. I'm not saying they were, but it was bad. And something has to be done, because it amazes me that everybody could sit here, if Jeffrey Simmons misses a sack, right, or Will Levis in this case, the bad plays that Levis had, everybody and their whole family was commenting on Levis and those, which is fine. But you have that play happen, and the player can't comment on the official.
Right.
And the official is just immune from criticism and everything. I don't understand that.
It is strange that officials are protected the way that they are, yeah, and fines just for saying, hey, they made the wrong call. It happens. And again, we the same thing we said last week with the Titans and Chargers, that did the call affect the outcome of the game? I don't know. But you basically handed the Vikings 7 points on that play and took 7 off the board from the Titans on the play to Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know materially how the game works out after that, and does it change whether the Titans win or lose that game. But in a game that ends in a 10-point margin and you gave one team 7 points and took 7 away from another, that feels important. And I was glad to see Brian Callahan multiple times letting those officials have it, because it back-to-back weeks where touchdowns have been taken off the board from the Titans.
It's ridiculous. It's
tough to see when the Titans are fighting to try and, you know, get past some of their own issues and are being pushed back even further by the officials. It's tough to play 17 on 11 or however many officials are out there. It's 6, 7, something like that. It's tough for the
Titans.
It's
terrible. It's terrible. Those plays have got to be better. It didn't dictate the outcome, but it had an influence on
for
it.
For sure.
Like, I'm not going to front that. It definitely had an influence on it. 51-yard touchdown, taken away. Turnover on downs, taken away. In the end zone. Stopping them on that fourth down from the 1-yard line, like, that's a huge, huge momentum builder. Huge. And we saw this team showed the ability to play from in their end zone and make something happen. I'm not saying that would have happened, you know, going right to left, you know, from that 1-yard line, but they show that, like, it's, you just can't just officiate a smooth game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 13 for 91 and 3 for 35. Like, you're not going to convince me that there was that big of a difference in penalties being executed or whatever for the two teams.
There's not much you can say. I mean, there's already so little margin for error for the Titans with the right tackle situation and all the injuries they've had, especially on defense. And it's tough when the officiating is that lopsided and back-to-back weeks where we have to have conversations about it, because there are huge plays that are taken off the board due to very, very questionable calls. And I know Brian Callahan was not pleased with it. I need to look. I know that John Boy, have you seen their lip readings, John Boy Media on YouTube
and
Twitter?
No, I haven't seen that.
Anytime like a manager in baseball gets ejected or there's a coach yelling at a referee in football, they'll go through and lip read and let you know what they were saying. I know they were working on the Brian Callahan one, so I might have to go check that out at some point.
Yeah,
to see
probably, what... probably not safe for work.
Probably not safe for our airwaves here on Jake and TD. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the AFC South a little bit. Titans and Texans, just the second divisional game of the year for Tennessee. Texans in first place, Titans trying to avoid falling into last place as they're currently a half game up on the Jaguars. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you, brought to you by Soul Nashville. We'll be right back here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Back here, Jake and TD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Soul Restaurants Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport getting you set for a great football weekend coming up. Lots of games across college football. Top five battle between Indiana and Ohio State. And a great slate of NFL games. Titans and Texans part of that at noon on Sunday down at NRG Stadium in Houston. TD, the AFC South, I don't know if anyone would have believed me if I said this 2 years ago, but it seems like it's kind of Houston's to lose for the foreseeable future. They seem to be the only organization in this division that kind of
has a chance.
They've got the key components. They got a good head coach. They've got good pieces, and they've got the quarterback. That cannot be said for the other three teams in the AFC South right now, who are all kind of in turmoil in one way or another. Colts don't really know whether Anthony Richardson is going to pan out. Jaguars probably are going to fire Doug Peterson sooner rather than later, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked like himself. He's been hurt as well. And obviously we know the Titans have started off 2-8 this year. Houston has figured out how to turn it around in short order, so I don't know if we can ask this question and really know the answer, because it can happen for anybody. But does it feel like Houston could control this division for the next couple of years with C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and everybody they have over there?
I mean, you pretty much said it. There's not really much to add to that. I think you look at Houston, they've found a way to restock their cupboards, so to speak. And as long as you have the quarterback, you always have a good chance. Now, I wonder, Bobby Slowick, if he's going to take the head coaching job. Right. He's going to have offers again. Houston is not the same as far as offensively this year as they were last year, but they're still very good. And they're winning. And teams want a taste of that winning when they're picking out their new coach. I don't know what organization it would be, but even if he does leave, I think they would still be in a good spot. So Houston, to me, is there. They have the good draft capital for the next coming year. The GM in place is really good. Like, they have everything that you want out of a organization. I just want to see how some of these other teams are able to finagle. Like, Mike Vrabel, does he go to Jacksonville and turn them around? I don't know. But does Bobby Slowick go there? Like, there could be different things to factor it in. And just as much as Houston turned things around, one of these other organizations could do that too. But it just takes the perfect storm. You know, they had that series of first-round picks. They were able to have two when they got Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, and they hit home runs on both of them. They were bad for a while before that happened.
Right.
And so there's a sacrifice, right? And after the rain comes the rainbow, and it's kind of like these other teams are in the rainy season right now, but it just doesn't seem like fans are patient enough for that rainbow to come.
You mentioned those back-to-back picks, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. I remember reading all of the – because right after the draft happens, there's always the way too early mock drafts for the next year, which, I mean, it's just for clicks and all that stuff to see who the next great class of college football players is going to be. And they always make up the draft order. And I remember seeing almost every single one had the Cardinals picking first and second because they thought the Texans were going to be awful as well. Look at those two teams now. The Cardinals and Texans are both in first place in their division.
Yeah,
it shows you that it's not – it is difficult. But it happens very often where teams will go from being a top five pick to being a playoff contender if you can get the quarterback and if you can build up the draft capital and get young pieces around him. you can make that move from being worst to first in short order.
Yeah, and now the other thing, if you're going to compare the Titans to them, these are teams who still had significant players from their previous draft classes.
Yeah.
And everybody complains about all the money that was spent this past year. Well, that money was spent because there were really no, outside of Simmons, there was the first round picks, like, just light them on fire and throw them away. Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons is the only first round pick to re-sign dating back to 2016, I want to say, with Jack Conklin. So
Conklin,
when you look at that,
second,
well, that's what I mean. So you're going all the way back to through there.
Well, Juan is the last.
Yeah. Yeah.
One besides,
so,
Simmons.
Yeah, the last one to, right. So it's just like, and what I'm saying is re-sign a significant deal.
Right.
Even with someone else. When you're doing that, like, it's not good, man. And you have to spend money to replenish the picks. And so these other teams, you know, they've hit on different players. So it's just, it's a different timeline, in my opinion, when you look at the Titans and you look at these teams. But maybe the money that they spent last year could get them back on track. As of right now, the guys that they've signed have not, you know, it's not panned out.
Right, and we're still waiting to see. We had a conversation last week about L'Jarius Sneed and when he could be back. Brian Callahan has already ruled him out again for this week.
Yeah.
Hope to see him again this season, and there's still almost 2 months to go. So you would hope that the quad would be healed up before then. But, I mean, at some point you might get to the point where you just want to get him rested up for next year and hope that he's ready to go in full strength for 2025. That is crazy for you to say that, because I haven't really thought back through all of the drafts, but that's a decade worth of drafts where you only have two players who have signed long-term contracts with you.
And there are some complete draft classes that are gone.
Yeah.
Complete.
And not from not that long ago. I mean, you look at 2018 was only four picks. Harold Landry is still hanging on from there. But that was the Rashawn Evans draft with Luke Falk and Dane Cruikshank. That was that entire draft class was those four players.
Two players from 2020, Simmons and Amani Hooker. That or 2019. That 2019 draft class was really good. Really good.
And we just saw David Long was waived by the Dolphins earlier this week. But he was part of that class. He was great. Did Nate Davis get cut?
Yeah,
did
he
I
got
see that?
Cut. The whole 2020 draft class is gone. The whole 2020 draft. Nobody from your draft class 4 years ago is on the roster.
That was Wilson, Fulton, Darrington Evans, Des Fitzpatrick was 2021.
The whole 2021 gone. So we're talking about
back to
complete draft classes gone.
Was Raiden's was 2021. Right?
Right. Outside of Raiders. Raiders was the one. So, okay, you got one from two draft classes. So go to 2022. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, 2022, it's pretty much just McCreary.
It's McCreary, Burks, MPF, Phillips. I mean,
they're still there.
Conquo. So there's four players. So now, you're talking three draft classes. You got five players from three draft classes.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, John Robinson did a lot of great things with this team, and he turned the team from a cellar dweller at 2-14 to a consistent playoff contender. But he left the cupboard empty on his way out, which is a large reason why he is no longer the general manager. When you go through class by class and talk about that, to have one player left from two draft classes that were less than 5 years ago.
It's bad.
Unbelievable. Like, those players should still be on their rookie contracts, most of them, or fifth-year option. Like, Isaiah Wilson would be playing on his fifth-year option if he obviously wasn't cut out or traded after a year. Still can't believe the Dolphins gave up a pick for that guy and then cut him, like, 6 days later.
Late to meetings, falling asleep in the meetings. Like, some folks just don't care.
And it's part of COVID, which I'm sure was a big part of trying to evaluate those players and their...
But other teams did well in that draft. Like, I'm not going
to... No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I'm sure that it's tough to judge the character and work ethic of players when you can't get them in the building. pre-draft. Like, I'm sure that that was part of the blind spot for some of these teams, and it just so happened the Titans picked the worst player in the class in terms of that.
Yeah.
But no, you are right, though, that it was possible to have a good 2020 draft. The Titans obviously didn't with all of those players gone. But I'm sure that that was a large reason why was you were stuck with Zoom meetings instead of actually getting guys in the building.
Yeah, no, they did have them in the building. Well, at the combine, they got that one-on-one. Right. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just funny because, you know, Jared Stillman, he always tells the right tackle story, and he gets on rant about that. Well, the right tackle situation didn't start with – it started with the previous regime.
John Robinson took three pretty big swings at it, and – I mean, two of them are still on the roster. Like, Raidens was supposed to be the right tackle after Wilson.
Then Petit Frere the following year.
Yes. Spent three top 100 picks on supposed right tackles in 3 years, and none of them are playing right tackle for you right now. I guess NPF still is, but
I'm just saying.
Barely. No, I get what you're saying. Jake and TD, 102.5. 106.3 the game. Didn't mean to get into a tangent there on Titans draft classes, but just talking about how that's how you end up at 2-8 this year is swings and misses on three straight draft classes. And the Texans had back-to-back really good draft classes and turned themselves from being the second worst team in the league 2 years ago to being head and shoulders above the rest of their division. Yeah. And looks like they will be for the foreseeable future. We'll take one more break. When we come back, we're going to preview Titans and Texans coming up in Houston on Sunday. Get you ready for that one as the Titans look to avoid a third three-game losing streak this season. They've kind of followed a pattern this year. Three losses, one win. Three losses, one win. They'll hope that they don't get their third straight loss on Sunday. Jake and TD presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 the game. Segment on this Friday, Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3 the game. We are brought to you by Soul Restaurants Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, get ready to preview Sunday's game, Titans and Texans down in Houston. Titans, as I mentioned, heading into the break, are trying to avoid their third three-game losing streak of the year. Again, they've followed a pattern, three losses, one win, back-to-back times. We'll see if they can avoid that on Sunday against the division-leading Houston Texans. And TD, we were just talking there during the break a little bit. Some familiar faces going to be on that Texans defense. Danico Autry, I know we were saying that he hasn't practiced the last 2 days, so
yeah.
His status kind of up in the air, but we'll see. Azeez Alshire, two guys that we know the Titans wanted to bring back heading into the offseason, ended up pivoting off of that and bringing in Calvin Ridley, but two guys that I'm sure are going to be looking to have big games if they're both out there on Sunday.
Yeah, obviously when you look at Danico Autry, he's a player that they did want to have come back. He ended up wanting to go to Houston. Azeez Alshire, the same thing. I mean, they gave him an offer that no one thought that he would get, and now he's there. I think Autry is a guy, if he plays, that's going to be a big problem for the Titans, because if he's lining up against Petit Frere, now he's in the mix as the right defensive end, but you will see him line up at left side as well, especially with Will Anderson questionable. But whoever it is going against Petit Frere, like the right tackle situation, it's going to be a problem. And if it's Autry, just because of his brute strength, the way he attacks things, it's a poor match for a guy like Petit Frere. So we'll watch there. I personally, in this game, I find ways to get Tony Pollard matched up against Azeez Alshire. I think Azeez is a very good linebacker, but I like Pollard running routes. I'm going empty. Get Alshire out there. I'm lining up Pollard far right, far left, wherever, over top of the numbers. And get your inside backer out of the mix. I'm moving and motioning him to the slot, running choice routes and sticks and those types of things, trying to find ways to get him the football quickly. This front is going to attack. Tim Settle is quietly a very – I remember him Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite. He was 19 years old coming out of Virginia Tech.
Yep.
But he's another one. You got Folu Fatukasi. I mean, Derek Barnett had a big play last week.
Right.
Jerry Hughes, even, like, they have Mario Edwards. I mean, they have guys, like, they could attack you. So you have to find ways. It's just like last week. Give Levis the answers to the test quickly. And get him in that mindset. I got to get this ball out. Got to do it. But just be careful going after Stingley, because Derek Stingley Jr. and DJ Bieniemy, who was on, talking with TD this week. Great job, by the way, Parker Kelly filling in. Stingley, he's a beast.
He has picks in back-to-back games,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason he went third overall ahead of Sauce Gardner. So that is a very good player, third-year player out of LSU. Quickly, I'll tell a quick Tim Settle story, actually. I have one from his freshman year at Virginia Tech. Me and my dad went to the Virginia Tech spring game, and my dad had won an auction for a game-worn Tyrod Taylor jersey.
Okay.
And Tyrod and Cam Chancellor were both at the game signing autographs. So we got both of them to sign that jersey. And my dad said after the game, we ran into Tim Settle, and he's like, hey, that's the next NFL player out of Virginia Tech. Let's get him to sign it too. And Tim Settle comes over, starts to sign it, messes up, scribbles it out, and then starts signing it again. So on that game-worn jersey, there's Tyrod Taylor, Cam Chancellor, Tim Settle, and a little scribble where Tim Settle messed up.
I hope he got the autograph practice now. That's funny.
I would hope he does. He's been in the league for a while now.
Yeah, 2018 he was.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like a day two pick. Let me see.
Yeah, here. He fell a little bit.
Fifth round.
Yeah, Washington picked him.
Yep.
And then he was with the Bills for a little bit, now with Houston.
Yeah.
But you're right, lots of depth on that Houston defensive line. Going to be a tough test for this Titans O-line. On the other side, still won't have L'Jarius Sneed. No Chidobe Awuzie, it seems. So Jarvis Brownlee Jr.
I like Brownlee Jr.
I mean,
this week is a good match. I think he matches up with Nico Collins
really?
Well. Because let me put my hands on you. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to have those physical confrontations at the line of scrimmage. Like, he wants to talk to you, right, physically, and I love that. And I think when you look at a bigger receiver like Nico Collins, like, they could do that. It's going to be a fun matchup there. I wouldn't be – well, you know what? Baker's playing well, too. You know, this is a top pass defense in the league, mind you. And it's not a coincidence, because that's something that – Denard Wilson is consistently associated with over the last few years.
Crazy to say that, considering they've been missing their big free agent acquisition corner and their big trade acquisition corner for the last month plus, almost 2 months. So, and Jarvis Brownlee Jr., high praise from Justin Jefferson this week. That's cool to hear. I know that they're little bit of buddies. They know each other from the Miami ties.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, yeah.
But it is cool to hear the best wide receiver in football say that your rookie fifth-round pick cornerback is going to be a star in this league.
And don't forget, in camp, DK Metcalf told Quandre Diggs, like, that young boy, he's nice. You know what I mean? So he's coming along. It's going to be pretty cool seeing how all that develops. He's also, I'll be frank, he's one of my favorite players on this team to talk to. I tend to gravitate over to the cornerback corner a lot. He's right next to McCrary, who's another one of the guys I like to talk to. So it's cool going over there. Just talking shop. It's not always football, man. Just talking shop, man.
We were talking a little bit about where the Titans could go early in the draft, wide receiver, offensive line. Cornerback, I think, is a position that they can pretty much stay away from.
You don't need to touch that.
I mean, you're going to head into next year with Sneed, Awuzie, Brownlee, McCrary. Plus, like that's a top four that I think anybody in the NFL would want.
Look, I think Daryl Baker is a guy you got to mention now. Is a part of that group going forward too? Because
he's looked great.
If he's not starting, he's still an excellent depth piece.
Better than having Trey Avery and Eric Gehrer coming in late in games.
One-on-one with Justin Jefferson on the fade route. He said, "Not happening today. Not happening."
Yeah, the Titans. Over the years, have not been known for good cornerback depth. It's always kind of felt like, man, if the top guy goes down, they're going to – quarterback's coming out, pointing right at his replacement and saying, I'm coming after you. Won't be able to do that next year as long as the Titans are able to get that group healthy.
Absolutely.
TD, another fun show.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy Houston next week.
Yeah.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Likewise.
And we will. We are going to be live, I believe, next Friday.
Yeah, we'll be live.
So, we will be live Black Friday from 6 to 7 next week, following up. It's a weird schedule next week. I believe Chase and Big Joe are going to be right before us from like 5 to 6 right after the Preds play. So make sure you keep an eye out on Black Friday. Going to be a fun day of content coming up after Thanksgiving with the Preds playing out there. Four's Company is going to be on the air from 6 to 8 next Friday a.m. If you're out Black Friday shopping, make sure you're tuned into 102.5 The Game all day long. That'll do it for us. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport signing off. Paul Feinbaum is coming up next. You're on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.